All right. Well, good evening. It's great to see y'all here in the sanctuary and those of us that are online. If you would, stand if you can. We're going to start out by singing Living by Faith. Yeah, you can sit. We'll praise the Lord. I care not today what the morrow may bring, if shadow or sunshine or rain. The Lord I know ruleth o'er everything, and all of my worry is vain. Living by faith in Jesus above, trusting, confide. He safely will carry me through, no matter what evils betide. Why should I then care, though the tempest may blow, if Jesus walks close to my side? Living by faith in Jesus above, trusting, confiding in His great love. Safe in His sheltering arm, I'm living by faith and feel no alarm. Our Lord will return to this earth some sweet day. Our troubles will then all be o'er. The Master so gently will lead us away beyond that blessed heavenly shore. Living by faith in Jesus above, trusting, confiding in His great love. From all harm safe in His sheltering arm, I'm living by faith. Above, trusting, confiding in His great love. From all harm safe in His sheltering arm, I'm living by faith and feel no alarm. I'm living by faith. Travel through this pilgrim land, there is a friend who walks with me. Say, leads me safely through the sinking sand, it is the Christ of Calvary. This would be my prayer, dear Lord, each day to help me do the best I can. Jesus, hold my hand. and ever firmly take a stand. As I onward go and daily meet the foe, blessed Jesus, hold my hand. Jesus, hold my hand. I need you every hour through this pilgrim land. Just as you are, hear the Spirit call. Come just as you are, come and see, come receive, come and live forever. Come just as you are. Hear the Spirit call. Come just as you are. Come receive Christ the King. Come and live forever. Life everlasting and strength for today. Taste the living water and never thirst again. Come just as you are, hear the Spirit call. just as you are. Come and see, come receive, come and live forever. Come just as you are. Hear the Spirit call. Come just as you are. Come receive Christ the King. Come and live forevermore. Amen. Praise the Lord. Please welcome Brother Ronnie to the pulpit.
All right, guys, how you doing? Jeremiah, thank you. That was great. Like your tune selection. Love it. It's always try to something new once in a while, kind of, you know, those words you listen to, you know, it kind of reminds you of some things that we, you know, we should be remembering. But anyway, thanks so much for y'all being here. And for those that are online, thank you so much for being online. And if you do not have a home church, we welcome you to come visit. We'll love to have you because this is a loving and praying church. And just come visit if you have a chance. So to start off here, we'll go ahead and start off with some prayer requests. And let's start with praises first. Anybody got any praises? Any praises? Yes. And how many? 17,136. 17,136. Oh man, awesome, awesome. Yeah, I enjoyed doing that too. I joined a leader and my wife. We joined and it was awesome. It was just fun. We had a little assembly line going, sticking different stickers, you know, in the covers and the pages. So it was great. And you know, being part of the Gideons, as you know, getting that Bibles out there to the community. I just love doing that. So when Bobby asked me, I just had to be part of that. Any other praises? Yes, Pat. Oh, man. All right. 50 years. And it's great to hear that. It's good. And any other praises? Prayer requests. Any prayer requests? Yes. Vicki? Oh. Yes, Miss Vicki. Okay. Okay. So he's going in to get just to meet with the doctors. Just this, okay. Okay. Any other prayer requests? Yes. Okay. What's his name? Okay. So just an overall health, correct? Okay. Any other prayer requests? Yes, James. Yeah, gets a stronghold on you. You're right. I've seen it. See what we could do. Yes. Do you know his name?
Richard
Hartscan. Okay, I'm getting it down. This pencil is moving. Anybody else? Yes, Pat. He's been coming. Oh, okay. Sure. Yeah, it's good to see him. You know, Fred's walking slow. I can tell he's still hurting, but he's got the willpower. He's here. Fred and Ann both. So good to see him. And others. Anything else? All right, I'll go ahead and let's pray. Lord, we just come to you, Lord, and just we have a praise, Lord, and we're getting Bibles out. You know, a church getting out. We labeled 17,136 Bibles, Lord, and that is going down to Mexico, I heard. And boy, what a testimony to see. I would guess probably 300 people there doing that, Lord. So again, it was just I enjoyed it, Lord. And again, it's just getting the word out, Lord. And it's good to see other churches there too. It was a community thing. It was just an awesome feeling just to see that. So thank you for that opportunity, Lord. And we're praying for Paul's brother, 50th anniversary coming up. Him and his wife together. So 50 years is a long time, and it's a blessing, Lord. And again, with Paul, he's got a test coming up Wednesday. And just to check him out to see, you know, what's going on with his lung, Lord. So our prayer is definitely for Paul during this time for that test, Lord. And Miss Vicky's sister is now on home oxygen, Lord. And it's, you know, we pray for guidance, Lord. And sometimes you guide the doctors and they make a decision. This is the best avenue to take, Lord, and it just thank you for that. And she's going to have to be on that oxygen now at home, but hopefully that'll help her, Lord. Brother Bill is seeing a surgeon coming up, and just seeing what he's dealing with, Lord, and what avenue they need to take. So please guide the doctor's hand in doing so, and make the right decisions for Brother Bill. And Seuss is Lori's friend. And we just pray for overall health with him, Lord. He's got a lot of different things going on with him, Lord. So just be with him and just give him comfort and peace of mind, Lord, that, you know, you're there to help take care of him, Lord. Just have him turn to you. And for all those in this country, Lord, that's dealing with drug addiction, Lord, it's a serious matter, Lord. And it ruins not only the person, it ruins the family and all those around them, Lord. So just give these people with a drug addiction strength to overcome this, Lord. If they turn to you and ask for your help, Lord, you're there to help, Lord, and just see, you know, how they handle this, Lord. A lot of them, they want it. Sometimes they don't want it, Lord. So we pray for them, Lord, that they make the right decision. And are we asking for a neighbor of Richard? He's got a heart scan coming up to see if there's any issues or anything causing any problems, and just pray that that heart scan comes out okay, Lord, and that sometimes, you know, that's all it takes is just having these checkups, Lord, to catch things in time. And be with Josie. She's got a mass in her body, Lord, and it just get some tests and find out really what's going on in her body, Lord. Just be with her and guide the doctors again with that. It's great to see Fred and Ann coming and the others that are coming that they're, you know, we know they're not feeling good and they're hurting, but they come anyway. But we're also praying for all those at home, Lord, that are not feeling well or hurting, has some kind of physical disability that keeps them coming, Lord. We miss them and we love them, but if you can come, Lord, just give them that strength and courage just to come, because we miss them all. We pray this in your holy, precious name. Amen. So today we'll be in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 through 4. And I will read that in a minute. I'll just give you time to turn there. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 through 4. The title of this message is Unity in the Church. Church unity. And as deacons, as James and I are deacons, one of the things that responsibilities that we have is build that unity in the church. If something's going on, people come to us, we talk to the pastor, and try to resolve issues before it even get worse. So, but church unity is very, very important, especially in church growth. So we have that church unity. That's just a special bond that we have. And New Hope here, we love each other. You can see it when we come in. We know each other. We know everything that's going on with all of us, Lord, and just a blessing to have that love for each other. And it's a praying church. So that's what I like about New Hope. It's a loving, praying church. And that's what I hear from everybody that visit. They can see that. So we really got a mark up on us as far as, you know, showing that love for everyone. And it's a good feeling when you're a visitor for a first time, especially, and people come to you and ask you, hey, how you doing? You know, it makes them feel good to say, you know, I was glad to be here. So again, just that's what this message is about, is unity in the church. But let me touch on a couple of things, a little story here. When you have a band, an orchestra, if you have that clarinet play, they sound terrific. If you stop to hear them play, man, they sound awesome. You go to the flute player, you hear them play, oh man, they sound awesome. You go to the trumpet player, they all sound terrific individually. But at one time, they all get together, right, and form that orchestra. And they all are counting on each other, correct? So if that orchestra, one of the main things that makes them sound so good is not that they sound good individually, they sound good as a group. They have that unity. And one of the things that helped them sound so good that they all play in the same song. If they all playing different songs, it won't sound so good. But they're all playing the same song. And it's not easy. It's hard. It's a lot of work, a lot of hours. It's practice, 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 practice. And, you know, but they have that determination that we're going to work together to sound good. They determine that that's what I'm going to do. Because what happens if one person in that orchestra sounds out with the wrong note? It's going to stand out like a sore thumb, right? And they don't want that to happen. They don't want anybody pointing the finger at them and talking about them for the next year. Yeah, you messed up that song. You made it sound awful. That one note from one person can ruin that whole song. And that's part of what unity is all about. And one of the things, too, that these orchestras have, you have a trumpet player, right? So he sounds good and everything else, but is he in tune? He doesn't get to the trumpet player next to him and say, hey, will you tune me up? Because he may be out of tune. So you may have two people out of tune. So what happens, the orchestra, the director, he's got that tuning fork. Bing! He hits that C note. That's how all the instruments tune in to that tuning fork. They're all on the same page, right? They all got something to guide them to sound right by it being all in tune, playing the same song. And that hard work and practice and building that unity, that determination to sound good, is they all look at it. All those members of that orchestra do that. And what is our tuning fork in life? As a Christian, the Holy Spirit is our tuning fork. He hits that tune and says, this is the way you should be acting as a Christian. This is the way you should be acting to build unity in that church. So that tuning fork is our Holy Spirit. So that's what guides and directs us. And we have the determination as a church to have that unity with each other, just like that orchestra does. Another example is maybe a football team. Now, you've got different players that, you know, have different positions. You may have a quarterback. You may have a, you know, tight end, a tackle. You may have a, you know, receiver. They all got different positions, but they want to perform good. They want to be unified as a team. Because what's their determining factor they have? They want to win. They want to win that game, so they know how unity is so important to that game. But sometimes a player may have something against another player. We hear that sometimes. We hear sometimes where the players may have something against the coach. The coach has set some guidelines and rules that the players don't like. He may call some plays that the players didn't think why he called that play and not this one. So there's a misunity in those bad teams. The ones that don't make it, it's that lack of communication, it's that lack of trust, it's that lack of unity that causes that team to win, to lose. It causes that team to lose because that unity is not there. They don't work together. And again, for that example, who's our coach? The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the one that guides and directs us in our lives as a Christian, of helping us build unity in the church if we turn to Him. So let's go ahead and look to that scripture, Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 through 4. If you want to stand, if you can, you don't have to, but if you can, it'd be great. Y'all are already there. Chapter 4, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long-suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body, one Spirit, even as ye are called, in one hope of your calling. Thank you, Lord, for your word. When we hear this word in verse 1, what verse 1 is really telling us, that God wants all his children to get along. Jesus said our love is the identifying character that will tell the world we belong to him. Or you could say, the way we treat one another tells the world whether or not we follow Jesus. Or you could, another saying that we hear, do we walk the talk as a Christian? Do we walk the talk? Verse 2, loneliness. It's humility of the spirit that enables a person to defer to others or taking a role as a servant. That means we need to humble ourselves, be peaceful. Humble ourselves, be soft-spoken, be, you know, kind, smiling to everyone, just that loneliness. Meekness is a gentleness that enables restraint rather than overbearing use of strength. They have that restraint of holding back instead of just showing that strength I have and just, you know, jumping back real quick and retaliating on, you know, what somebody said. Meekness involves showing kindness and being considerate of others. Being meek doesn't demand their own way. If you're meek, you don't make any demands. You're meek. But meekness is not a sign of weakness. It's a sign that the Spirit lives inside of me and I'm acting as a Christian as I should have. Whatever problems there was, we just have to have the Spirit just guide us in those problems in our lives. That's what being meek is. Long-suffering is putting up with others' faults and failures and not seeking revenge when we're wrong. Let God handle it. If we're wrong, just kick back and just say, you know what, time's going to take care of itself. And you know, pray about it. So when we're wrong, sometimes it hurts, and we want to do something. But as Christians, we need to hold back and say, you know what, I just got to swallow this for now and pray about it. That's how I handle it. That's the way I should handle it. Forbearing one another in love. In verse 2. A willingness to forgive. That means I don't It doesn't matter. I don't care. Whatever faults you have, whatever issues there is between us, I'm going to love you anyway. I love you. I love you. I love you. Don't let these things hamper that love, and let it. Don't let it hurt the church when two members are fighting. So, in Colossians 3:13, Christ forgave me, so I need to forgive you. That's what it says. And Christ forgave me. So why is it so hard with all my sins that Christ forgave me? Why can't I forgive someone with their sins? That's what unity and love is all about. Forgiving one another is a must. It's a must to build unity in the church. You got to have it. Endeavoring conveys a necessity of striving with determination to overcome obstacles for the sake of unity. It's not always easy. It takes a lot of hard work, a lot of prayer. But, you know, just like the football team, they overcome, they strive to overcome. The concert that the orchestra put on, they strive to overcome, to just, you know, whatever issues they have, we got to do it. We got to do it. Whatever roads they might be, bumpy roads for them to get that. But practice, all that prevails. And that's what enjoyment is, that we have when the Holy Spirit guides us and we prevail. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for that guidance. Thank you, Lord, for giving me the direction that I needed. Thank you, Lord, for saying the right words to someone in love when they offended me. Approach them in love, not try to get even or retaliate. When we are controlled by the Spirit, we avoid actions and attitudes that creep into the church that weakens it. Avoid actions and attitudes. You know what one of those things can be? Gossip. Gossip could really destroy a church. You could have someone that say, you know what, let's just say, James, you borrowed $20 from me. Okay, fine, no problem. A week later, he ain't paid me back. 2 weeks later, he ain't paid me back. And I get to wonder, how are you going to pay me back? And I get to wonder about it. But you know what? I got to forgive that person. He may have a reason why he can't pay me back yet. Whatever. You know, I'm just going to let it slide for right now. Another month goes by. James ain't paying me back yet. Well, now I'm getting to be a little concerned about it. Do I have a forgiving heart? Well, maybe I need to check. James, I know you owe me 20. Is there something I can help you with? Is there something that, you borrowed 20? Do you need to borrow more? Or is there something that I could do to help you? Don't let that $20 ruin that unity in the church. Another thing that I could do, if I'm really struggling with it, after a while, I could start gossiping. Hey, you know what James did? He borrowed $20 and he paid me back yet. It's been over a month. That's where gossip comes in too. That does not help the church gain in strength. So unforgiveness, gossiping, those are two main things that really would destroy a church. We have to really watch ourselves and evaluate ourselves. Is it all that important, $20? Is it really worth destroying a church over? I mean, that gossip could be in church. It could be on the phone. I mean, it could really do harm to the church. Forget about it. Move on. Don't let it bother you. Because a lot of times when I lend $20, most of the time I don't expect it back anyway. So why cause an issue over it? So when that gossip does happen in the church, don't be part of it. Say, you know, I'm not going to listen to it. No, I'm not going to listen. And if you can, please, I wish you would stop. You know, I'm telling you, love, don't gossip in the church. You know, we don't know what the reason is behind all that. We don't know what the true story is. So for right now, just leave it alone. You know, this is what we need to do to our brothers Christians here to build unity, is stop that gossip. so it won't hurt the church. We talked about unforgiveness. We talked about gossip that hampers that bond of peace that we have. But unforgiveness, it's almost like a cancer. It grows. It gets worse and worse. Some people, it just really eats at them. The longer it takes, the more it eats at them. It could really ruin your life if you let that unforgiveness take over your heart. It could ruin your, it could not ruin the next month. It could ruin the next year, 5 years. Because you know what? I'm never going to forgive James for what he did. I'm not going to forgive him. So that's that cancer already eating at me. I haven't forgot about it. It's deep in my heart. I got to forgive. But there are some good things about forgiveness. Is when you forgive someone, boy, don't you feel good. It's over with. When you forgive someone, it's done. It's done. It's over. So forgiveness could really be a strong part of building that unity in the church. So don't let it get after you and hurt you. Again, like I said, two things that really hurt a church is unforgiveness and gossip. We get to verse 4, Ephesians. We talk about one body. Different members of the body mean it doesn't matter how old you are, the color of your skin, what spiritual gifts you have. We're one church. We're one body. We all work together in harmony, in unity. So we all play a part in that. So if my knee hurts, I don't know who that is. Who wants to be a knee? But if my knee hurts, that's one member of my church that hurts. So that means I won't function as well. I'll be walking around with a limp. Say, man, my knee's just hurting, it's hurting, hurting. That's what that one person could do to the church that I talked about, like gossip or other unforgiveness. If one member's hurt, we all hurt. The whole body hurts. So that's why it's so important to build unity in the church. Don't let that one person destroy a church. As a deacons, James and I, we see that person. That's one of our responsibilities is go to them, find out what the problem is, and stop it. And we work with the pastor. Need to go to the pastor? We'll go to the pastor. This is a loving church. It's a growing church. So just don't let those things just be part of destroying this church. Now remember, God's will is for Christians to be unified. It doesn't matter because we decided to just join the same church. We're not unified because we're all just members of New Hope. It doesn't work that way. It's not that easy. It takes work. We're all human. We all have a sin nature. So it's something we have to work at, just like the band has to practice. The players, teamwork. We're all part of it. So, you know, it just takes a lot of time sometimes, but it's worth it. It's really worth it. When we have that sin nature in us, we want to respond right away with a negative response, like don't tell me what to do, or I know better. That's not the proper way to respond when someone does come to us. We need to respond in love. Like a love is a big part of unity in this church. So, yeah, respond in love. If you can't respond in love, wait till another day. Wait till another day. When the church member doesn't work together, the whole body hurts. You know, just like a bad knee. The band hits a bad note. That one bad note can ruin the band, the orchestra. One bad pass that a quarterback makes can ruin the game and cause them to lose. So it does have the effect. One person does have an effect. So don't let that one person do anything to ruin this church. When we all work together, we make the church stronger. If nothing hurts my body, I'm stronger, right? I'm willing to do anything. Same way with the church. When this church, when everything is built, you know, in our strength and love and have unity, this church is going to grow from that. They'll see the love and the concern. And they come in, they won't see any bickering going on. They'll see, and you know, they'll hear the pastor. They'll talk to members after the church. And that's what makes them come back. We've been having quite a few visitors, and I'm glad to see them. So don't give them a reason not to come back. Show them that love. Show them we have a unified church. In 1 Corinthians 12:26, whether one church member suffer, all the members suffer. If one member is honored, all the members rejoice in it. So not only the bad, but when somebody does good, rejoice with them. Tell them, thank you. John, I appreciate you teaching Sunday school for me. James, appreciate you being the deacon, solving some of the things, meetings we have to set dates. Thank you for doing that. Thank you, guys. I mean, that keeps that ball rolling. And it keeps the ball rolling as far as we got an outline. We got some things we need to do in the church. We got people step up and do it. So, yeah, there's some positive things, too, of that unity. It's not all negative. So we all going to rejoice when this church is growing. We're all going to rejoice when things are working good. It's good to see people tied. It's good to see us having meetings. It's just good. I feel good coming to church. And when I leave church, man, I love that message. I love seeing so-and-so. I'm glad we had that prayer request. I didn't know about Bill. Test coming up. We learn things. Because why? Because we have that love for each other. Don't forget where that love came from. It's that tuning fork. It's that coach. It's called the Holy Spirit that guides and tells us what we need to do in our lives and how to do it. Some examples that's unbiblical is, some people come to, go to a church. I'm not talking about New Hope. Some people go to a church and they think it's like a country club. They go, hey, what perks do you have? What's in it for me? What privileges do I have? Is others going to serve me? I'm more of a receiver instead of a giver. I want to know what my rights are instead of my responsibilities. I want to know what my entitlement is to the church instead of what sacrifices I need to make. This church is not a country club. Here's some bad examples, and I just named a few. And if anybody heard of these, you may not have, but I'm just going to name some. This is my church. You have to play the music I like. This is my church. I want to hear my songs. Remind the pastor who pays his salary. When you don't like something the pastor says, you go, you know what, I pay your salary. You need to have to listen to me. You have to do what I want. How about this one? I'm mad the pastor didn't call me. He didn't call me. I'm mad. If you don't like this program, I'm going to withhold my check from the church. I'm not going to turn in any more checks until the program I want gets established. Y'all do it. If y'all do it, then I'll start paying my, tithes again. I've been a member for 20, 30 years, so I have the right to get what I want. I've been a long-time member. Don't I have special privileges? Do I have rights? How about this one? Sermon's too long. We talked to the pastor not too long ago, and we told him, I said, Pastor, if your sermon is 10 minutes short, great. If it's 10 or 15 minutes longer than normal, great. Finish your message that God wants to hear. Us to hear. God's trying to tell us something. Don't stop God and telling us something. Whatever time it takes, we told the pastor, you do it. Whatever time. As if church members, they're not going to say anything. I know how they think, but they mentioned it before. Take the time you need. So some people will say, you know what? Sermon's too long. I ain't got time. I got to leave by 12. If we don't leave by 12, it's best that I just don't come. How about this one? I don't like change. I like the way it was. I don't like change. I like the way it was. You know what that does? We do studies as teachers and pastors and deacons, and we try to grow this church. and come up with something maybe different that may grow this church, like I said. So we implement it. But then we get hit. Why are you doing that? I don't like change. I like the way it was. Well, are you saying you don't like the way it was? Or are you trying to tell me you don't like church growth? What are you really trying to tell me? The building. I don't like the color they painted it. I don't like the lights we have in the front. I don't like the color they painted it. I don't like the color of the carpet. All kind of things that they may not like in the building. Golly, what difference does it make? Really? Someone is always sitting in my pew. This is my pew. Last couple of Sundays I've been coming. Somebody's been sitting in my pew. You know what? I just gonna stay home. If I can't sit in my pew, I'm just not going to come. And we did this one time a while back. I don't know if some of y'all remember. John, you may remember. Paul and Pat, you remember. Said, everybody that's sitting on this side today, get up and go to the other side. And the ones that go over here, remember when we did that? We were just going to see what kind of complaints and gripes we were going to have in doing it. Just to see the responses. We didn't have any. In fact, I got a lot of good comments. Hey, that's a good idea. We need to do it again. And we might. We might. It doesn't matter where you sit. And this one. If you don't do it my way, I just won't come. I'm just going to stay at home. If you don't do it my way, I'm tired. I've been coming. I've been thinking about, you know, the things I've been telling you, not doing it. You know what? I'm just going to quit coming. You're coming for the wrong reason, people. That's what you tell them. You're coming for the wrong reason. Are people coming to sit in pew and look around like, what can I find wrong? Oh, man, this pew don't have a Bible in it. I'm going to have to complain about that. Or the door, I had to, you know, the rug when I came in, I had to, you know, kind of move a little bit. That's something else on my list I won't complain about. So, you know, what's the deal? They're coming for the wrong reasons. They're not focusing on praising and worshiping God. They're not focused on that. If they were focused on that, they wouldn't see these other things. How about when pastor's reading out of the Bible and someone's just still just looking around? They're not focused on God's word. What are you here for? Aren't you here to praise and worship him? Are you trying to hear God's word? Is what God's trying to tell you? Now, does that build unity in a church when someone's trying to look around and trying to find fault in the church? You know, it's not all about you. Get the I out of it. We're here for a reason. Let's focus on that reason. Let's stay on that reason. You know, and then sometimes we're in a church service. We may not be looking around, but we might be in, you know, as a pastor's reading and God's word, you're bringing the message, you're going, see what, I need to cut the yard. I got to go grocery shopping. Are we drifting from God's word also? If there might be that one particular message that God was trying to talk to you about and you weren't paying attention, distracted, looking around, looking for things you shouldn't be looking at. Come over here, like when my son races a car, he has that tunnel vision. He don't care what goes on around him. He just focuses it straight ahead. And that's how we ought to be, you know, in church here. Focus on that word. Focus on what God's trying to tell you. And don't let anything distract you. People get up in church sometimes and go to the restroom. I don't know. I'm not looking at it. I don't turn around and look and see who it is, how long. Man, they've been gone for 10 minutes. I ain't worried about that. I'm here to focus on God's word. So all these things that, you know, that doesn't build unity. I made a list. And these things are being said by people. They are. Whether you like it or not, some people actually may fall in one of these categories. Don't let it bother you. So just stay focused. If there's issues, if there is one, go to your deacons, go to your pastor. Don't start rumors. Don't gossip. You know, wherever it is, some of these things could be an easy fix. So don't spread it. Don't get out there and tell others about it. That just ruins that unity. Just like the orchestra, that one person could ruin it if they play a bad note. A bad pass at a football game could ruin a game. That one bad person, whether they're the knee, the elbow, or the shoulder. You know, when we hurt, we all hurt when one member hurts. So don't let that one member hurt all of us. Like I said, stop it if you see it. Tell them, I don't want to be part of it, and I really wish you would stop, because it's not good. It's not good what you're saying. You know, we really don't know what it's all about. So, yeah, it's all about unity, people. Colossians 3:14 in the NIV, and over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. It's all about love. Isn't it? God just told us it's all about love. If you love thy neighbor, you're willing to forgive. If you love thy neighbor, you won't gossip. If you love thy neighbor, you won't come up with excuses not to come. We're all in here together. Today in this church, we're here together to love God for what he did for us. I don't want anybody to distract me from that. I want to be focused. So the question is, how can I grow in showing love? How can I grow in showing more love to people? Answer is, read your Bible. Study your Bible. Listen to what God is telling you. These are guidelines of our lives of how to act as a Christian. Okay? Because I don't want my testimony be ruined that he's a Christian, but look the way he's acting. I don't want any part of that. What church does he go to now? So he's saying all that, doing all that, and he goes to this church? You know what? Do I really want to be a Christian, or do I really want to go to that church? So, yeah, it could hurt. So, yeah, you know. So, again, be in God's Word, study, and then over above all, pray about it. If there's something there, pray about it too. Tell God, tell him what's bothering you. Tell him he'll tell you what you need to do and how to do it. So, you know, that's what it's all about here in this church, people, is it's unity. And like I said, I love coming here. I love y'all guys. And man, you know, we all help each other out over the years in many different ways. And we're all here for each other. And we have some people that, you know, on the building committee, you all see what all they do. And it's out of love. They love this church because they're members of this church. They're one part of this body. That if they didn't clean up the mess, it would really be bad when it coming in today. It'd be smelly. It'd be water still on the floor. And they stood up and took care of it right away when they found out about it. They didn't put it off. Oh, well, I'll check about it tomorrow. They took care of it right away. And they did it because of the love for this church. They didn't want someone coming into church, slipping on the floor, walking through water, anything else, seeing water destroys things after a while. They cleaned it up. So my hat's off to them for doing that. And we're hats off to each other being here. And when we leave, you know, tell everybody you love them. You know, tell them you love them and just, you know, can't wait to see you Sunday. See if they're coming. Ask them how their family is. Because we're all in this for one reason, to glorify God. Because one day we'll be all together up there. So that's what we look forward to. Thank you for letting me come up here. And again, as I brought this message, because of being a deacon, that's, like I said, that's one of the things that I look at is, there's something in, that's going on in the church that I could be, should be concerned about. And I look for those things. And if anybody got anything, come to James and I. Don't let it grow. But and we talk to the pastor. We have our meetings with the pastor. I just had his meeting, you know, last weekend with him. And, you know, we talked over some things, scheduling some members' meetings and finance team meetings. You know, we're doing what we need to do. And you ought to be proud of your teams here. You ought to be proud of everybody here that serves in some way for this church. Some shape or form. Because we're all one body, correct? So, Alita, could you come up to the front, please? And James, could you be on this side? Jeremiah, you got something to play? If anyone needs to come up and give their life to Christ and they haven't, please do so. And you people online, love to be here, you being here listening. If there's something that's bothering you, turn to Christ. Turn to God and tell him what's bothering you. And he'll listen, and he'll help guide you out of that. So thanks for being online. So if anybody wants to come up front, if there's something you want to ask forgiveness about, that your Lord wants to forgive you over something, got one on each side here. So please come up. Through the week, we need to probably just examine ourselves and just say, am I acting like I should? Am I showing that love to others like I should? Not only the church members, but how about my family? Am I showing that love to my family or co-workers? Don't have your testimony be ruined by the way you act away from the church, because it does matter. Love matters. Thank you, Jeremiah. I love you guys. Again, I just thanks for this opportunity. And I'll just dismiss in prayer. Lord, I just come to you, Lord, and just have your word be applied in my heart, Lord, so I can learn to forgive. Sometimes it's hard, Lord, but I have to, because, Lord, you forgave me. Why I can't forgive others, Lord? Don't let that forgiveness that I have in my heart, just, you know, hurt a relationship or maybe even hurt the church, Lord. So, Lord, just give me strength to know when I need to forgive, Lord, and hold my tongue when I tend to want to gossip, Lord. That's, again, that's a unity breaker in a church, Lord. So just help strengthen me and from refraining from doing that, Lord. Just thank you for giving us this word, Lord. Again, Lord, you know, it's all about love. That's the number one thing, is love your God with all your heart, your mind, and your soul, and your strength, Lord. And I love you with that, Lord. So again, thank you for your salvation you've given me, Lord. I'll pray this in your holy, precious name. Amen.